Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description. You can tell that with her other hand, she's kind of rubbing the base of the horns that are growing out of her head. And now that you have like this kind of angle on it, you can most certainly tell that they're much larger than they were the previous night.
If you want me to go home with you, the abbots, then that's what's going to happen, okay?
Okay, but don't you want to be there too?
Yeah. And Dakota kind of like gestures and like leans into the both of them for them both to come very close.
I don't like being a girl.
There is, from Benny's hand, there is this like seed as large as Benny's hand, glowing with the light of like a light bulb. The two of them look at each other, look down at the seed and look back at you and says, "This will cover everything."
Well, 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 you've got a ticket for the express! The Botanical Express! Hop aboard!
Hey, the greenhouse I was telling you guys about earlier that I thought we should maybe not be in or near?
Yes.
It's right there.
Frank, we want off now.
As you try to stand up, vines grow out from the bottom of the cart and pulls you back into your seat, restraining you. From underneath the seam of where his head meets his neck, hundreds of spiders spill out from it and start crawling over you. And they start like, you can like feel them crawling and starting to bite. Take one harm. Train cars go like flying off into like deeper into the tunnel, sticking in places. You hear the cacophonous like banging and slamming of pieces into the tunnel, leaving Dakota. You are still in the front car. It is grinded to a stop. The lights still on, illuminating part of the cavern in front of you. Around you are just bits and pieces of this train that have fallen apart and are like stuck in the web. You hear the groans of agony from Dorothy, from Walter, from Marley, as they're all like stuck in the web, struggling to get out. And from deep inside of the tunnel, you hear chittering, tiny itsy bitsy chittering. And you hear as tiny little feet along stone, along wood, and along vines make their way from deep in the tunnel towards you. And with the light of the train in front of you, you can see small black specks slowly making their way up and around, covering the entire circumference of this tunnel, slowly making its way towards you. But that is not the worst thing. Seeing all of these spiders slowly beginning, and I mean hundreds upon hundreds of spiders slowly making their way here, that is not the worst part. The worst part is when the lights of the train illuminate the glossy, large, black eyes of a creature making its way towards you. You see four large, gangly limbs creeping out from the darkness in front of you. And they aren't the carapace that you would normally expect from a spider. It is skin stretched along the lengths of large arms, stretching to their breaking point. You can see bits of black streaks of where eventually an exoskeleton may be. But they aren't there yet. You see fingers on each hand that split into two talons on each of the fingers as they are slowly making its way. You see tufts of hair-like spines along the arms and legs of this creature as it slowly makes its way towards you. And as you get a better look at it in the light, you see that the most of this body seems like it was human at one point, but not quite anymore. You see what looks like maybe a uniform, a brown uniform, similar to that you've seen before. And you see as these arms and legs maybe spanning about 10 feet in length, with skin stretched over it, and you see the large head of this beady-eyed girl. You see reflectionless in its large black eyes and six other eyes that round her head like a crown, and a mouth covered in a large mandible-like jaw slowly make her way towards you. You see she gets close, walking along her web, eyeing you curiously. The chittering noises of the other spiders around as they wait to see what she has to say. And she looks at you. She's maybe 10, 15 feet away from you, just staring. And you hear,
"You are the one. You are the one with the secrets."
"And what of it?"
She's kind of taken aback by like your immediate kind of like just... you're like just like immediate kind of aggression towards her. Goes,
"You share your secrets with me. I merely want to thank you."
"How did you get my secrets anyways?"
"I am the owner and proprietor of the Botanical Carnival, its caretaker. The secrets you give to pay for our attractions, our food, and our services all come to me to grow our garden."
"So then why all this? If we're helping you, then why bring us here?"
"Because, Dakota, I need more of your secrets."
You start to notice all of the spiders that were like kind of crawling out from the ends of the tunnel are like moving in the direction of Walter, Dorothy, Marley. And of course the three of you also, you guys aren't like knocked out. You guys are, you know, awake and like are stuck in this web, but like conscious, of course. And you can see all of these spiders making their way towards you.
"And if we give you our secrets, you'll let us go?"
She cocks her head.
"No. I need your secrets to grow the garden. And until the garden is perfect, I shall need you here."
"Well, that's too bad, because we're going somewhere."
Walter and Dorothy, do you, either of you do anything as these spiders are moving towards you?
We're caught in the webs, right?
Yeah, you're currently caught. So, again, this is a huge, like, funnel web. It's basically, like, a tornado-like structure that goes from wall to ceiling to floor in this kind of spiral-like shape. And you guys are currently, like, stuck in the sides of it on, like, either side of the wall, as well as, like, a bunch of, like, train pieces and stuff that have come off as well.
"Okay. I actually think the first thing Walter's gonna do is, like, as the spiders are approaching, he just kind of starts to go, all right, that's close enough. Please, no further, please.
They're still they're still crawling towards you.
All right, then he tries to escape.
Such impolite spiders.
Very impolite. Okay, so let's see. What are you? Yeah, this might be a skidoo.
Walter does not have skidoo.
Which means you will need to make it with minus two.
Okay.
Skidoo minus two.
All right, that's plus steam, which my steam is a minus one.
Oh no!
So let's make a neat, cool, good roll here. That's gonna be a two.
Oof. Okay.
That's gonna be a two.
You all see as very quickly these spiders make their way towards Walter, start crawling all over him and spin their webs until Walter, you can feel yourself starting to be constricted into this web-like cocoon. Yeah, Walter, you are currently like trying to struggle against all of them as they've are completely covering you in this web. Dakota, you see this. Dorothy, you see this. And you also see that the spiders are starting to make their way towards Marley and Dorothy right now.
Dakota kind of like looks around like very exasperated and is like, let them go. We can make a deal. We can figure something out.
A deal? What kind of deal?
You want our secrets, right?
Yes.
We can't stay here. We can give you as many secrets as you want and we can go on our way. That's the deal. If we're stuck here, we can't make any more secrets. It's a finite pool.
You make a pretty good point. Give me a grift. try to convince someone to do something against their self-interest using deception.
That's going to be a minus three.
No. Describe what you want them to do and roll plus mush.
Oh, it's a minus three.
Oh, God.
That's a six.
Oh. I'm so sorry. You take one experience. Walter, you also take one experience from your four from earlier, or your two from earlier. I'm so sorry. She looks down at you and says,
how about this? You give me your secrets, and instead of feeding you to my children, I only feed them.
And you can see that Marley is currently being wrapped up in webs as well, as she's struggling and yelling out for help as well. And the spiders are starting to make their way to Dorothy. Dorothy, what are you doing?
Dorothy sees this flood of spiders coming toward her. And it's her worst nightmare. She's never liked spiders, but she had a particular incident with one while hiding in a closet. And it was a choice between screaming about the spider that bit her or getting discovered. And she's Jesus. Hated them ever since.
Poor Dorothy. God.
Yeah. Dorothy doesn't have a good relationship with spiders. She's just... she's paralyzed. She can't do anything about 600 spiders coming at her, let alone the one that, you know, started this whole thing for her. Like, she just feels completely helpless, and like she's back in that horrible like memory, but like it's been magnified by so many times. Maybe screaming. She doesn't know anymore if she's screaming or not.
Is Walter like entirely wrapped up at this point?
I would say Walter, I think Walter, you are wrapped up from like the neck down.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what I was, yeah.
Yeah, and the spider, and a group of the spiders are starting to pick you up and move you further into the tunnel.
Kendrick.
Yes.
I'm on like the main like engine part of the train, like, and that's still on the tracks, right?
Yes.
Dakota is going to hear Dorothy screaming and look back to the big beast in front of them, mm-hmm. and is going to go, well, I think we've reached an impasse, and is going to, I'm assuming like the handbrake's like one of those ones that's like in the ground kind of, it kind of sticks up, and they're going to pull it back and disengage the emergency brake and rip it out and kind of hold it up like a saber.
Gotcha. Okay. You're disengaging it to like have the mm-hmm. train start moving again?
Yeah, because it'll be going downhill, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. That's the thing that I wanted to make sure that we... Okay. Awesome. That's super cool. I love that. This seems like this could be cause mischief. You're coming up with
either,
a plan.
Either that or steam just to rip out the handle.
Yeah, give me a steam roll to rip out the handle here.
7, 10.
Okay. Yeah, you pull against this handle is like many things here, like this mixture of like wood and metal and vine. The shaft part of this is primarily wood, so you disengage the emergency brake and like push against it with all your might to break it apart as well. You can feel as the gears of this train start moving again as the brake is like the brake shifts, moves off of it, and you can feel like the slow movement of the train as it begins to grind again slowly down this hill, and you pick up the brake and begin to wield it as your weapon here, and you see that the spider in front of you.
Can I try to skidoo?
Yeah, you can try to skidoo out of this web. Yeah, for sure. Time to run.
The moment I see Dakota doing something, I'm gonna.
Okay.
Cool. 8.
8. Yeah. Okay. On a 7 to 9, you escape, but create a complication. You leave something behind. You take something with you. You create tracks.
Can the thing that you take with you be Walter?
No, that's not a complication.
I know.
What would be a fun complication?
For real, though, someone's going to have to get Walter, because with a -3 to Skidoo, I don't think he's getting out of it on his own.
R.I.P. to Walter.
Damn.
Rip, my man.
Dorothy, you feel as the spiders are like starting to like come over you, they're starting to spin their web around you, and you are like able to break free of like the webs that were like constricting your arms, and you're able to like get out and like kind of tumble and roll in like in doing so, like, or sorry, no, what you're able to do is slip your arms out of your jacket that is primarily the webs are holding on to, and like mm-hmm. using that, you're able to like kind of get out. The thing you leave behind is, as they are wrapping you up, you A, lose your jacket, and B, the pumpkin is within the web that they have spun.
I start like slashing at them with my flashlight. Like, I start trying to slash through like the webs and stuff to get back to like my pumpkin and my coat.
Give me a... I think so.
I'm like stepping on spiders that come near. Like, I'm going.
Okay, I'm feral. This is gonna be a hurt roll then. What's going on? Play this scene out for me, a bit.
So I wriggle out of my jacket. I have to lose the pumpkin in it as well. But I have that the flashlight is still gripped in my hand. I'm so scared, but I'm also so intent on I made a promise about getting that turtle somewhere safe, and I told Chris and Grace that I was going to bring back the pumpkin, and that coat doesn't belong to me either, so I have to get them back. And so I take the flashlight in my hand. It's just like a blunt object that I can hopefully like try to like swath through like these webs and like bat away spiders and that sort of stuff. Like, I just very focused on getting back my possessions.
This sounds like a hurt roll. When all this fails, you can hit something. Describe how you attack, what you have, and roll plus steam. I imagine Dorothy doesn't have the hurt move, so
I do not.
We'll also be taking a -2 to this roll.
Cool. That's a 1.
Oof.
All right. Dorothy, you desperately try to climb back in, start swinging at these spiders, trying to get back that coat and that pumpkin, which the abbot so graciously gave you. And as you do so, you're like, oh, I'm going to be able to just like start swiping at all of this. And the webs are just as sticky as they were before. You go for your first swing and it immediately gets stuck in there. And again, spiders are starting to climb over around you and are webbing you up as well. Dakota, you are currently starting to make approach this giant spider girl as the train slowly moves towards her, and you see,
man, I'm going that slow.
I mean, it's like, it just, you just did the, you like it, I'm, yeah, no, I'm giving fair. You the that's couple fair. Of moments before it starts accelerating towards her. And you see, she is starting to make the motion where she is like starting to move towards you and going to try to like reach out and like move around. Like she's trying to move around the train and then like try to grab you. That is the current moment you're in. Mm-hmm. Can also see like out of the corner of your eye that Dorothy is starting to get webbed up by the spiders, and that Walter and Marley are already being dragged further into the tunnel. What are you doing?
How close is she to me?
Started off about 15 feet away, but she's moving closer and you're moving closer to her. So I'm going to say you're probably somewhere around 8 feet away from her now.
Okay.
But like the train is picking up speed and she is moving towards you and like is reaching out to grab you. So that distance will be closed pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm going to use brace myself, I guess. And okay. Dakota is going to kind of put out like their on like their left arm, like in front of them, kind of like trying to like block like their face and their chest. And they're going to kind of try and like stab with the emergency brake to like ward off this like spider and try to like in a way like connect the spider to them. So like they like have like the same inertia. That makes any sense.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. You prepare yourself for incoming harm. Describe how you intend to block, which you already did. Roll plus steam. Do you have brace yourself?
Yeah, I do. That is 11.
An 11. Awesome. So you cancel one incoming harm and immediately attempt to cause harm to the attacker. So, let's play this out. So she, tries to, she goes to try to grab you. You block her with the thing, with the brake. What do you do? How do you attempt to attack her from there? Or do you attempt to attack her from there?
Dakota tries to like grab one of the spider's legs and like bring it into the train and pin it to the train with the by like stabbing the brake into the flooring with the spider's leg.
Jesus. Between. Oh my god, that's so good. Awesome. This seems like, does this just hurt? This might just be hurt. Yeah.
Would that be part of brace yourself?
Yeah, I'm really interested in this because it says an immediately attempt to cause harm to the attacker. But that is not the, because everything else says you do one harm. I think to keep the 10 plus kind mm-hmm. of attempt with this, I think yeah. that you just need to get a 7 plus on this and you automatically they won't do harm to you. Like even if you get a 7 to 9, they don't, she won't get another attack on you just because you did that.
So I roll again?
Yeah, roll plus steam. But minus 2 because you don't have hurt. Yes.
That's a good sound.
Yes.
That's a 4.
Oh no. Ah. That is tragic. Well, that was okay. Well, with a fail.
We're sorry that we didn't build our characters for violence, okay?
sorry. Hey, you know. Yeah, no, I mean, that's not your fault. Your children.
Walter should have been a crocodile.
Honestly, that is a hard fail. Okay. So you grab onto her arm and you like try to pull her in so you can stab in. And as you like try to pull her in, she uses that momentum to like kind of fling herself over the train onto like towards like the back of it and then grabs you from behind like during that flip and like picks you up with the other arm and like is like holding you in the air. She like flings you over into the web, and you are currently like stuck against the wall of the web. And as spiders begin to approach you, and she comes over watching as like her spiders begin to approach and says,
I'm sure with secrets like yours, our garden will grow large and beautiful and perfect, just like he wants. And after, we can play for as long as we want. Isn't that right, my children?
And you can start to feel as the spiders begin to crawl all over you, into your boots and pants and jacket and shirt, and are starting to spin their web. You can see that Dorothy is encapsulated and is similarly being picked up and carried in the same way that Walter and Marley are.
Walter is the character that I play, and I want him to do something.
Uh-huh.
Here.
What does he do?
He shouts out, "Hey! Big freaky thing. What's your name?"
She turns to you as like her children stop. Like you're like on the edge of the tunnel, like before you were about to go into like the darkness. And she turns with her large, elongated, like four. You see, like she has the four like elongated limbs, but she also has like two vestigial arms, like piercing out of her sides, which are like these kind of like small, spider-like arms. And you see with her like longer limbs, she grabs onto the ceiling, pulls herself up, using a lower limb, grabs onto the ground, pulls herself down as she like moves through this web like an acrobat.
That would be so cool if it didn't make me want to throw up.
And then she gets real close to you, looks you up and down. You can see her, like, it's hard to tell exactly what she's looking like because her large spider eyes are glossy black. There is no reflection. There's no pupil or iris to see. And you see she has like this spider like mandibles, like a pharyngeal like jaw that like comes out and around, and like, but you can see underneath those mandibles as they like kind of move around and chitter, there's a human mouth under there with not quite human teeth. It's this weird, there's this like weird spikiness to them, and they're not all there. Like some of them have fallen out and some of them have receded, and it's this really strange thing. And she gets real close, venom dripping from her human mouth, and she says,
"Rose, my name is Rose."
How long you been like this, Rose?
Too long.
There's no emotion that you can tell in her eyes because, again, there's no humanity left in that. But there's a certain pain that you can recognize in her voice.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I think Walter is like maybe to the perception of the others, like he is surprisingly unafraid of this. I think he is looking directly at Rose and just talking. He says, "Would you ever want to change back?"
That is why I must grow this garden. He's promised me.
You really think he'll actually do it?
He said he would. That's why he gave me the garden. To grow and make beautiful, and once it's perfect, he'll turn me back. He said he would.
He wants his perfect little world, and he doesn't care who he hurts to get it. He doesn't care about you. He would sooner leave you down here in the dark than give up a tool, an asset that he has. You think he'd just give that up?
Is this you trying to grift her?
I think maybe, yeah.
Okay, I like this. You try to convince someone to do something against their self-interest. What do you want? What do you, I guess, describe what it is that you want her to do here?
I don't think I'm going to, yeah, I don't think I'm like going to convince her to join us and like, you know, come on, we're getting out of here. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what he's doing. I think he's just like, maybe almost asking her to rethink her attitude, like rethink
this, like the situation and stuff.
Yeah. Why she's doing this and if it's worth it and if it's gonna.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it possible that while like she's distracted, Dakota could try to like, cause like all the webs would be on the exterior coat. Could she like take her like, or like take like her arms out like the sleeves and try and like free her arms that way?
Yeah, I'll give you a skidoo for that. I'm gonna have Gus give me this grift first.
No, yeah, of course.
Because I think that'll give you, depending on how that goes, that might give you the time, or depending on how that goes, it might not.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's do this grid first, and then we'll get to that. So yeah, Gus, roll plus mush.
A plus zero to that, and that is a 7.
Oh!
Oh my god.
Oh, okay. They'll consider it for a price. Interesting. Okay, I know what this price is.
You think the stranger lies to me? That he deceives me?
Yeah.
What do you know of him?
Walters thinks for a minute. And he says, well, I don't know what he is, but he's prideful. He's a perfectionist. He's got this place locked down. He wants it exactly what he pictures and won't have it any other way. And if you're anything like me, you're like this because you didn't fit that picture. And no matter what we do, no matter if we work this off, whatever he says, we're not gonna be good enough for him.
I will not be used. If he intends to trick me, then I must trick him. Yes, that is what I must do.
And you can see that she has, like, moved away from, like, kind of, like, moved away, like, distance-wise. Like, she's not in your face anymore, but she's, like, kind of still around and she's thinking. Dakota, you can give me that skidoo roll.
Can I also... Get out again.
It's a 5.
Okay. Dorothy, I'm sorry, but you are currently wrapped up. You are not able to skidoo at this point.
Fuck.
And
I thought I just got like slightly stuck again.
Fuck. Okay. No, with the complete failure, you were. No, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Same for Dakota. You were currently wrapped up completely. Walter, you can see as the spiders are beginning to pick up Dakota, as well as Dorothy, Dakota, and Marley are all kind of converging, being carried by these spiders over towards where you and Rose are right now. Rose looks down to you and says,
You will help me trick him.
Do you have any more specifics in mind, or
I do not know how. But you will help me come up with a way.
And she reaches down and picks you up off of like the group of spiders that were carrying you. She brings you up, and her two vestigial arms like hold on to you and like bring you close and like like in like kind of like a hug almost towards like her body. She goes off deep into the tunnels, with the rest of you, in tow behind, into the darkness of this web.
Oh. Hey there, I didn't see you there. Oh yeah, it's just me, Kendall, doing the mid-roll, bleeding out in this trunk. Let's just get this over with. First off, we just want to thank everybody for listening to the podcast. It really means a lot to us. We don't really, you know, pay for advertising a lot. We really just post on Twitter, so... It would actually mean a lot if you went out, told your friends, maybe make a post on Twitter with the hashtag TalesYetTold. Tell us how you feel about the show. Tell
Tell others how you feel about it as well. God. You can even leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let everybody know how you feel. It does a lot to help get the word out and just really help grow this community that we're working so hard to try to build. God. Ah, it hurts. You can also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told. That's at TalesYetTold. It's where we post any updates about the podcast, share character art, and really just try to have a discussion with all of you all about the show. We also want to give a huge shout out to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network for inviting us with open arms into the family. There's a lot of really cool queer-led podcasts out there, y'all, and you should really go check them out. I think I've got an ad here to play, so I'm gonna do that and get some rest. Hopefully try to stop this bleeding. So don't forget to go out, eat enough food, drink enough water, and don't forget to love yourself like I love you.
Well, hello there, young adventurer. I've been waiting for you. We've met before, don't you remember? Ah, no worries. I'm quite forgetful myself. The other Sparks are waiting for you. Aviath, Shui, Theo, and Brandy. They've had such wonderful tales to tell. A truly marvelous story. I wonder which one of them will be the chosen one. Perhaps none of them will. Perhaps it will be you. The morning's coming soon. I have to leave now. Will I see you again? I sure hope so. Is a story really a story if there's no one to tell it to? Well, goodbye for now, adventurer.
Chosen Ones is a visual novel-style D&D podcast on YouTube that releases every Thursday at 1 p.m. CST. Find us on Twitter at Chosen Ones D&D. Come adventure with us.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive holo foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload. And good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
The Badlands. Legend has it that beneath the dust, something old and powerful still whispers to any gunslinger foolish enough to listen. One day, aboard a doomed train into the wastes, three unlucky travelers hear that call. A runaway socialite, a shape-shifting bounty hunter, and a retired thief turned family man. Will our outcasts find what they're looking for?
I mean, we're already here. Let's have a little fun.
You really went in there, guns blazing.
I thought that was the plan.
My potions are miraculous.
I thought we were being quiet.
Oh, Stump only has one volume. Sorry.
Wild roses grow out of his mouth, having filled his lungs.
What's happening out there?
Violence.
Find out on Mage Hand High Five.
The four of you are steeped in darkness as you all are dragged into the depths of this tunnel. Only the sounds of spiders moving against each other, chittering away. Some beneath you as you're being carried further down into this space. Some of them above you, the sounds coming from all around. As you are moving further into this cave and being taken any which way, left, right, up, and down, you begin to lose your sense of space here in the darkness. The web seems never ending. And Walter, you are watching at, like, you're kind of like looking down, I imagine, and I'm not terribly sure how great Weasel's low light vision is.
Probably pretty good.
They go in tunnels and stuff all the time.
Oh, that's true. So yeah, sure. We'll say your low light vision is pretty good. You can see like below you as like your three companions are being dragged along side you all, as Rose is like doing the same thing as before, where she's kind of moving like how gorillas do through trees, arm in arm, swinging from the ceiling, using her momentum to pull herself forward and using all four legs to move. to move from ceiling to floor to wall and ceiling again as you all are moving throughout these tunnels. And eventually you come to this large open cavern within the tunnel. There is a small bit of light here as there is an opening in the ceiling leading up and out into the world above. And light kind of fills the inside of this cave again, and Dorothy and Dakota, the two of you, finally get like some sensation of relief as your eyes are no longer just like blotted out by darkness, and you can see a little bit of this cavern. And just like everything else, the walls and ceilings and floor of this cavern are covered with spider web. You see that there is also like a little setup here, like if it was a bedroom of some sort. You see that there is a bed here, a large bed, with made of like wood and vine posts and like just like a really large like sack of something. You can tell it's like some kind of burlap sack that's being used as the actual mattress for the bed. And you see that there are tables and like a dresser and what looks to be like a small like handmade dollhouse, and like it looks like a child's room in this large cavern, made with like bits and pieces of maybe stuff from the carnival or other stuff that has been grabbed. And you see along the walls are also what seem to be remains of like web sacks, similar to what you are in currently.
Oh no. I knew it.
Cool.
And most of them seem like they've been burst open already. They'd been covered and then like whatever was in came out or whatever, you know. But there's one that isn't burst. You can see as you all are like coming into the room, Walter, she like comes in, climbs, and gets over towards one of the tables. And you see as Marley, Dakota, and Dorothy are brought over close to this other web sack that is large and like writhing, like something in it is ready to come out or like struggling or fighting to come out. And you all are like kind of put side by side by side. Yes, the four of you, or the three of you, are being put side by side by side right next to it. I imagine Marley is the closest to it since she was of the three of you taken first. And so the way that I'm picturing it is that it is this large web sack, Marley, Dorothy, Dakota, sitting along the wall, not terribly far away from where this table is. And Walter, Rose comes in, takes you, like, sits you down, like, puts your little web sack, like, on the table, and then with another arm, like, goes, grabs a chair, and, like, puts it at the end of the table, and then, like, moves to sit into it, all without her feet ever touching the ground.
Again, that's actually pretty cool, but, like, God, it's just awful.
Of course.
So there, you said there was, like, there's light coming from the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's light from, like, an opening, like, up in the ceiling.
Yeah. How far down are we?
In, like, what do you mean?
Like, how far is, like, how far away is...
Are you from the ceiling?
Yeah.
I'm imagining the ceiling being, like, 20 feet tall.
Oh.
It's like a large cavern in a cave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's light out still, right?
Yeah. You guys were, like, bright and early in the morning when you all came.
Okay. I just needed to have an idea of that. I guess plan's down the drain.
And again, of course, feel free to take ganders at any point. All of these moves are open for you to use and such.
I would, but Dorothy doesn't want to know any more nightmare material. Like,
That's fair. Eyes closed. She sees nothing. Yeah. She pretends she does not see it. This is a bad dream. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Walter has seen the thing that he most wants to address, at least at first, which is the writhing web sack.
Oh, that? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a gander at that, or are you asking her about it?
I think he asks her. I think he says, "Hey, Rose, what's with that thing?"
Oh, yes, the stranger. He brought me a gift earlier. A new form for my children.
Ah.
Which is useful, since your friend seemed to have done away with Frank.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Nah, yeah, I guess we did tear his head off.
Do you know how hard it is to keep those pieces sewed on?
Genuinely, no. I do not have any concept of that.
It's very difficult. The pieces are always wanting to fall off, especially once they begin to decay, and then you have to replace pieces with silk, and it's a very hard process. Hopefully this new one lasts longer.
Well, I very sincerely apologize. In our defense, we kind of panicked. Maybe you can understand.
I suppose.
Cool.
Now, what is the plan?
Okay. You know what I want to do, actually? I would like to recite poetry.
Ooh. Yay. Hey, bring the poetry back.
Yeah. Specifically... I want to, because the purpose of recite poetry is information about the world.
Yeah.
And I want to think about specifically about the stranger and poetry about that.
I like that. So recite poetry. The wood is a magical and mysterious place, but you have a limerick, melody, or haiku for every situation. Roll plus noodle. All
right. That is an 8 plus... Oh, that's a 10.
A 10. Your prose contains something important to your world. The GM tells you something useful about your current situation. And so you want something about the stranger.
Yeah.
You know that the stranger... Very similar, like, you were right... You hit the nail on the head earlier. When you were like, the stranger wants... everything to be exactly the way that he sees it, right? That he molds the world and the people to be what he wants them to be over anything else. And alongside that is, you know, that he has this I mean, he has this kind of god complex, right? Where, you know, he can do whatever he wants. And especially because, you know, the interaction that you had with him in fiction 2 days ago, there's this sort of arrogance that goes with that, right? Like, he is arrogant and narcissistic enough to believe not only that he knows right, and not only that he knows, like, what's right for everybody and, like, what's going to be, like, you know, perfect in the world. And so with that arrogance, as I'm sure Walter has, you know, kind of dealt with in the past, it is easy to underestimate everyone when you believe that no one could possibly understand what is right. And when you look down on everyone else because you think you have all the answers. And so, to a certain degree, the stranger underestimates everyone and almost can't possibly comprehend a world where anyone can get one up on him. And so actively scheming against him. And if you do it right and you have all of your ducks in a row, it is possible conceptually to trick him. To what degree and to what effect, who knows, right? Depends on what it is that you're trying to trick and what your end goal is. But it is possible, because people who are that arrogant, I mean, you know, hubris is the downfall of many people, right? And so, yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay.
Is that kind of what you were, do you think that's useful enough?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so.
While Walter is coming up with the poetry, can I see out of this, like, am I, like, completely encased in webs or, like,
no, I
am
think,
I able to see and stuff?
Yeah, I think the three of you, all of your heads are not in the web. It's neck down.
Okay. I'm going to open my eyes and just try to look around for Elsie.
Okay. You look around for her and you don't see her. You kind of lost track of her shortly after, you know, everybody got thrown from the train and, like, she isn't there.
Elsie?
You see Rose starts to hear you talk, and she looks over and she says, "Shush! We are planning." And then looks back to Walter.
Am I encased with my jacket and the pumpkin now as well?
Yes, but you are not wearing the jacket.
No, it's I'm just not wearing them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm just encased with them. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Dorothy doesn't like anything that she just saw and is going to close her eyes again.
Okay. We can, I mean, if you want, you could take a gander, I guess, in that brief time that you were looking around.
Sure. Okay. Why not?
I don't know, maybe.
Pretty useless right now, so.
Well, maybe some information might
exactly help. Of course this. Really?
What'd you get?
I got a fucking 12.
Well, that's good. What?
I know, but, like, of course this is, like, I don't care about this. I wanted to, like, get out of the web and stuff.
I guess that's fair.
No, within the web I can get a 12 and, like, get a good gander for, like, 6 seconds. But sorry, hey, continue. It's fine. I'm just gonna throw these dice out the window.
Well, you take a long, hard look around, describe what you're looking into. Roll plus noodle. So you got 12 plus, ask your GM. You got 10 plus, ask your GM two of the following questions, which they will answer truthfully.
Cool. I don't like these questions. Like, what's going on here? I know what's going on here.
Do you?
What should I be wary of? Like, I know maybe it's just all the spiders around. What here isn't as it appears to be? That's my first question.
Huh. Okay. You, in the brief moment you, like, kind of look around, you know, what you see in front of you is this terrifying sight, right? You are in the, the spider's nest of this large body horror spider girl.
Horrible. Just awful.
Wrapped in her webs with all her spider kids.
I have added to Dorothy's list of fears, by the way, half spider, half girl abominations. That is now on the official fears list.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And you're looking around and you're like, ah, that's terrible. But there's also something here that is like kind of familiar, right? Where like there is this bed and this dresser and this like doll's house. And I think as you're looking around, you also see like around the doll's house are little like web made like dolls and like toys and stuff.
That's terrible.
And like there are things here that feel very, I mean, you know, what you're looking at you is for all intents and purposes, like this like kind of monstrosity. But there's also, it can't all be monster, right? She goes to bed in a bed. She plays with toys. She wears a school uniform. And there's this kind of humanness to her. There's an amount of humanity that feels maybe slightly familiar to Dorothy. As, like, I think there's maybe just a brief moment where, like, she's like, okay, spider monster, spider's real bad. And then, like, oh, wait, no. She's afraid of the spider girl. But, like, alongside that spider, there is a girl underneath all of that.
Huh. Okay. What happened here recently?
Oh, bud.
My second question.
Oh, bud. What happened here recently? There's some real fucked up shit that I could do.
Yeah. Not surprised.
Oh, bud.
I don't like that. That's not an like encouraging. That either,
yeah. And I got a 12, so I'm gonna like, no, no.
You're gonna no, no. You look over and you see that there is, over like across like the like not terribly far off from where you all are, there is this large bucket. Essentially, it's like it's not like one of those just like, you know, small, but it's like the large, like it almost like a bathtub shaped bucket. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those large ones. It's and it's filled with
like a trough, basically.
Yeah, kind of like a trough, and it's filled with like clothes. Scraps of clothes. Not like scraps, like it's like weird, like it's not weird, it's just like people's clothes. You see there's bits of like, no. you know, there's shirts and pants and skirts and dresses and shoes kind of tossed about, like carelessly thrown on top of each other. And on the very top of it, you see, and like the kind of in this dim light, a very strangely familiar button up. It's, you're pretty, you're like, it wasn't that long ago. It was just a bit over a day ago. Not even. It was, I guess, for you yesterday when you saw Edward.
Oh, no.
And his shirt has been carelessly tossed on top of this trough of clothes along the rest.
Oh my god.
No.
Fuck.
Fuck.
Gus, do you have that poem for me?
I'm working on it. I'm a bit distracted by the fucking shit you just said. Poems are hard.
Poems are.
How did I do this so fast last time?
I don't know.
Did a haiku? I don't know.
While things are kind of waiting down, Dakota's gonna kind of whisper to both Marley and Dorothy. Dorothy being the first and being like, "Hey, are you guys okay? Is there anything wrong? Are you guys safe?"
It's not great. It's not great. Things aren't great. Things aren't good.
Yeah.
Dakota.
Yeah. Yeah, Dorothy?
I think that's Edward's shirt over there.
Where? Where?
In the big bucket.
Dakota, like, looks over.
I can't
over.
Point, obviously, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Dakota looks over, and do I recognize it?
Oh, yeah. You remember it. I mean, you can tell by the little, like, bits and, like, pieces that have been, like, that are, like, torn off from, like, the shirt as it has, like, holes in it from, like, the pieces of, like, bramble and vines that you pulled off of him just yesterday.
Okay. In Dakota's mind, she's, like, thinking about, like, the image of Edgar and him protecting them and her trying to save him. And she kind of stares blankly for a second and looks over Dorothy and goes, oh, that could be any jacket, right? The school seems to have, like, all the same uniforms and everything, so I don't think that's his.
Dakota, it's his shirt.
No, you don't know that, Dorothy. It could be anyone's shirt. Everyone in that school is wearing the same thing anyways, right?
Dakota, we're gonna die down here.
No, we're not. Walter's working on it right now. I give him 5 minutes and we'll be down here and we'll be walking around and we'll be on our way to get out of here and we'll be back home to the Abbots. We're not gonna die here.
I don't wanna die by spiders in the dark.
I won't let that happen, Dorothy. We'll be okay.
I don't think it's gonna be okay. Dakota. You keep saying that and I don't think it's going to be.
I mean, look at everything. We made it out of all the other places, and this is no different. You just gotta stay calm and let Walter do his thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a shitty haiku I wrote in the past, like, 5 minutes.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, forgive me for this first line, but it was too good not to too good to pass up. Stranger in the wood. Keeping peace and righteousness, his own perfect world.
Ooh. Snaps for that.
I like that. That's going to be on the back of the CD version. The CD album. Yeah.
The cassette.
The cassette, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Cassette tape.
Oh, that'd be so dope, actually.
To the soundtrack on a cassette.
That'd be sick. That'd be dope as fuck. Okay. So you say that to Rose, and she kind of looks at you blankly and says, What does that mean?
He says, because I've been thinking about this, like that is a that like Walter didn't write that.
Oh, okay.
It is a poem that he has heard.
Okay. So okay, interesting. So do you think that this is like Where do you think Walter has heard this from?
Just around.
It's like, is it a thing that, like, kids back at the school used to say?
Maybe not the cool kids, but,
yeah,
like, you know.
Yeah, no, but it's like, you know, it's like that, it's...
Like, rain, go away?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's one of those things that, maybe it's one of those things that, like, parents teach their kids, right? Where it's...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, when they're, like, teaching them stories about, like...
It's a nursery rhyme.
Yeah, it's like it might be like a nursery rhyme that, like, maybe
that doesn't rhyme,
yeah,
but whatever.
Yeah, it's like a little thing that maybe, like, kids who are born in the Sublime might hear, like, from birth know this. But, like, at school, like at the Sublime County School for Lost Children, it's a thing that, like, they drill into you. Because right. When you're born here, like, that culture is very different, right? Like, you, if you're born here, like, you're in, like, that's instilled within you, like, everybody knows.
Yeah.
But, like, it's something that has to be burned into the hearts and minds of every new person that comes here to understand the hierarchy here and the purpose of it all, right?
Yeah.
So I guess when you say that, her reaction isn't that then, because she also knows. Everybody knows. And... I guess her reaction then is, what is your point?
He says, you know that one, don't you?
We all do.
What if we all know it because he wants us to? Because he wants us to believe it's true. I'm saying he puts it out there like this, or some variation, whatever. He wants us to think that we can't, you know, get a leg up on him. He wants us to think that this world that he's made is exactly how it should be. I'm saying we hit him where it hurts, his ego.
What do you suggest? then? Where is his ego?
Walter, he's still like cocooned, isn't he?
Yeah, from the neck down.
Yeah. He like looks like he is like struggling to like make a motion, and then he says, okay, pretend I'm like gesturing all around at all of this. Everything.
The garden?
It's his ego. Partly, yeah.
But I cannot destroy the garden. I've worked so hard to build it, and it's so cool.
And what have you gotten for it?
She kind of takes a moment to reflect. She kind of looks down and sits back in her chair a bit, thinking.
You may be right, Weasel.
It's Walter, by the way.
Walter, right. Forgive me.
It's all right. Figure I know your name, you should know mine.
Yes. We are more than these bodies they give us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. We had, we had lives before this. We have our own lives as this, you know. It's not... I'm not who he wants me to be because I'm a weasel, you know. It's still me.
Give me a grift roll to see, you know, if she is willing to go through with this plan to destroy the garden.
That is an 8.
Okay, they'll consider it for a price.
If we burn it, what comes after?
Well, I have a few ideas. I gotta be honest with you. See these kids over here? And he kind of nods at Dakota and Dorothy.
She turns to look at them.
He says, I have to get them home. That's my priority. But I don't think there's much going anywhere for me. So after I get them home, I'll come back. And you and I will burn every last inch of this place to the ground.
She looks at you for a moment. Deep, black, reflectionless eyes. You can't tell what she's thinking. There isn't those micro movements of human facial reactions to tell what she's thinking. It's this deep gaze as she stares seemingly through you.
I have been hurt so much by this place. You have too. And if the only thing I can do is make sure no one else goes through this, then okay. If I'm a weasel forever and I'm stuck in this hell, then I'm gonna fight it.
Do you think there is a way we can return to who we were?
I don't know. I really don't. You know, I for a while I thought if I just follow the right paths, the right threads, you know, it'll lead me to something. Lead me to the solution. And I've tried a lot of stuff. I've tried just about everything short of doing what the stranger wants me to do, but I don't know. Hey, you know, maybe if we make the stranger's life enough of a living hell, maybe we'll maybe we can get on some negotiating terms with them, huh?
We shall even the playing field.
That's right, that's right.
Okay, Walter.
Thank you.
Be gay.
Roll dice.
An LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.